What's up, what's up, what's up? My name is Reverend Christian Jansen.
What's
this
up, Reverend?
This is the Most High Show.
Hey.
Today's episode, we have Big Brother David in the building.
Yes, 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 yes.
We have Big Brother Mike in the building.
What's up?
We're going to have a mystic moment, and then we're going to hear Mike's story of recovery and also the epic life that he's living now. Thanks to recovery. So all that is coming up next on this episode of The Most High Show.
Welcome to The Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is The Most High Show.
All right, and we're back. We're back. So we usually start with this mystic moment, and it's a little different because me and David have our back to each other in the studio right now. But this is perfect. So here's the mystic moment. And Mike, if you want to chime in on this too. This is kind of 2.0. But, you know, for those who have ears, may they hear it. All right. It's the idea or the concept that there is nowhere to stand. So we get to a place in life and we think we've made the money. We've amassed some sort of success professionally. We have the house and the cars and all the things that we've set out to get. And then we find it's not it. There's something not fulfilling about that. Or we spend a life addicted to drugs and alcohol. We chase that for years. And then at some point we find that's not it. Mm-hmm. Or we have a spiritual experience that's radical and it impacts us. And it's like this mountaintop moment. It's like the sun is shining again. And then eventually we have to come back down to earth and know our zip code and do our taxes.
Yeah.
So it's this idea that there's nowhere to stand. And for those that see deeply, it's okay that there's nowhere to stand. Mm-hmm. It's okay that I can't plant my identity in one area of my life because I am all those things.
Yes.
All right. So that's kind of, you know, there's a lot more to that, but right. I just want to kick it off like that. So let's first, David, what you got on that?
Well, I think that in those three things in particular, right, I think a lot of people gauge a full life by material things, man, especially in early sobriety. Like the more you strive and the more you accomplish things, I think it ends up being you end up finding some kind of fulfillment. But it doesn't take too long to realize that there's something definitely missing, right? There's something missing in that. As much as you're getting, and then what can easily happen is you go for more, and you go for more, and you keep trying to, like, you're hungry no matter what you accomplish. And ultimately, you know, I've been in that situation, and ultimately it still leaves you, you know, incomplete, you know, and you know, spiritually, man, when I was, you know, in the word daily and I thought that that was it, man, I was all over it every single day. I couldn't get enough of that, you know? I realized, you know, that, you know, it doesn't maintain, you know, this high that, you know, you're expecting. Sobriety. You know, my life in sobriety and recovery, you know what I mean? If I'm just doing that and I'm accomplishing, there's always something missing, right? I feel incomplete in one way or another. And I've come to realize after some time, a long time, I would consider a long time for me, that that's all right, man. You know what I'm saying? It's cool because what I'm looking for now, right? I think that's one of the big reasons why, you know, one day at a time is so important, dude. you know, because today I'm good. You know what I mean? Today I'm feeling okay. And if I'm feeling bad, that's all right too, man. Cause you know, I'm going to do the things that I think are, that I'm able to do today to get me through this day. And if I don't feel like buzzed from God, if I don't feel high from like a big paycheck, if I don't like feel like I'm killing it because, you know, I've already done the steps and I'm kind of like, you know, feeling a little idle in certain parts of my life, that's cool, dude, because today I'm all right and I'm going to get through it, you know?
Yeah. All right.
What you think? What you think about that?
No, that, I think that was right.
That was it.
That was right on.
That was it.
Yeah.
You. That was it. End the
show. Boom. Thank you guys for tuning in. This was a great episode.
Mike. What do you think?
I couldn't agree. So my, you know, you guys are calling it a mystic moment. So like, but my identity was always attached to things outside myself. Right. Yeah. Like it was always attached to the job, the girl, the apartment, the car, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. So therefore I was always chasing things in my life rather than trying to attract opportunities. Right. So like I had that moment where, you know, like for me, the devil, addiction, all the same thing. Right. Like it wants us to attach ourselves to things outside of ourselves because we could lose them. And when we lose them, we lose our identity. And I remember losing my identity during active addiction. Like I remember walking into the bathroom and looking in the mirror and not knowing the person that I was looking at.
Right.
You know, so I started to start a war with the man in the mirror and the man within. Like I was always at war with both of them. Mm. So therefore I was always at war with the world. Like I was your consequence. You did not want to walk past me in the street because I hated myself so much. I didn't want that feeling to just be mine. I wanted you to hate the world too. So at least I know there's somebody out there that's feeling the way that I'm feeling, you know? So for like for a long time, that was my life. And because I had so much hatred for everything, there was no way to find love. So like, I guess where the, you know, where things change for me, because when a rock bottom is in the moment, it's not a good place to be. But it was the most beautiful place for me to end up in my life was to hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
Because by hitting rock bottom, the only place to go is up. But by hitting rock bottom, I found that, you know, what do we call that? Gift of desperation.
Yeah.
Like I got that gift of desperation, and that desperation did leave the passion. Like, because I was desperate for the drug. So I was passionate about getting it by any ways, means necessary. Right. You know, so like the whole recovery thing, like I had to get real desperate because I thought my way always worked. I was going to be the one addict that could do it successfully. You know what I'm saying? I was going to be the one addict that didn't have these things happening in life. But it's going to happen to all of us. Even if you're a functioning addict, you're just preventing the inevitable, you know, or you're just like you're going to have that emptiness. The only way I filled my emptiness was with God. It's the only thing that ever made me feel wholesome, right? Because recovery doesn't make us become the people we were before the drugs. We already had the illness. We already had the tendencies, right? Recovery allows us to become wholesome. That's why I don't like to use the word broken. When something's broken, it can never be put whole again. I needed healing. I didn't need to be fixed. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to heal from childhood trauma. I need to heal from PTSD. You can't fix those things. And when you try to fix them and you don't succeed, you get real discouraged that you have an issue that can't be fixed. We don't need to be fixed. There's nothing wrong with us addicts. You know what I'm saying? We just need healing. And healing is, like you said, a spiritual journey. It's not a destination. We are never going to get to that. I don't want to get to that point because then my growth is going to stop. My happiness is going to stop. Like when you get home, what do you feel? You feel comfortable. Hopefully you feel content. I don't want this to be a destination. I need this to be a journey. I need this to be an everyday thing. And the one day at a time, I agree with you. This is a one day membership recovery. You got to renew this shit every day.
Yes.
You know, that's why I say I'm on day one every day I wake up, because my clean time is irrelevant if I don't do what I did yesterday and bring it into today. So you know what I'm saying? So like today's the only thing that matters. If I don't do the work today, I'm not going to do it tomorrow either. So right here, right now, that's all that really has any kind of value to me. So I keep it simple. That's why I'm able to learn from people that are still getting high. I'm able to learn from people with one day clean. I'm able to learn from people with 10 years clean, because the clean time to me is just something you accumulated. I need right here, right now. And that's what works best for me.
No, man, you know what, man? I love I love that. Thank you. Thank you for putting it out there like that. I think that, and then, you know, I think it's good to explain, you know, a rock bottom, you know, what it means to be, you know, hopeless and helpless and at the bottom of, at the end of your rope type of feeling. And I think, you know, a long time, it was hard for me to grasp the concept of being a grateful addict, a grateful alcoholic. You know, dudes would say that, right? But, you know, having to get to that rock bottom and coming from there and moving up and, you know, realizing yourself, understanding things, dealing with recovery, doing that life, and finding something that, you know, makes you happy, understanding yourself, learning about yourself, all those things. When you start from zero and come up from that, I mean, it's I think it's like a born again situation. And I think that's where the idea of gratefulness comes in, you know, having an attitude of gratitude, being somewhere and knowing what that was like and keeping you moving in the right direction. And so, you know, that rock bottom, man, is so, you know, it's something that you're blessed with, because if you never hit it, man, you still be out there right now.
Yeah.
You still be dying, you know, slowly.
Can I say real quick, while we're talking, Mike looks like he's running from the police in his car. he's got that one wheel back up.
Yeah.
He's like, look, he can change his hat.
You can
take the kid out of New York. You can't take the New York out of the kid, though.
He shaved his beard while he was.
This isn't giving off my location, right? Like, you don't know
where I'm at right now, dude. That's great, dude.
Always on the move. But the rock bottom thing, for a long time, I didn't think I was at rock bottom, but I was scraping my face along the rock bottom for years, you know? You know, because I always thought it could always get better my way, like, and it just never did. And I always would come up with these great ideas, you know, how my life could always get better and just never, you know, follow through with it. But I think that's why us addicts are the chosen one, because of that rock bottom. You know, we live in a world where mental illness is just running rapid, right? Yeah. Like, how do we get ourselves better? We get ourselves better by working together, no matter what God we pray to, no matter what our skin color looks like, no matter, you know, none of it. We don't care about any of that when we're in recovery. So that's why we're the chosen ones. We can show this world, not only can you get over a mental illness, you can prosper over that mental illness by working with people that might look like you, not talk like you, pray to a different God, you know what I'm saying? So we could actually show this world how it could be a better place to live. And that's what I always tell addicts. Like, we should be grateful for the opportunity of that rock bottom, like you said.
I'm digging it. Christian, what is that? What did the mystic moment, what did you say? What is that? Put that in words and from your perspective, what does that mean?
The nowhere to stand?
Yeah.
So nowhere to stand is, you know, I think identity is like a thing that I still kind of struggle with personally, because I am so multifaceted as a person, right? Like, I understand I'm good at technology. I'm creative. I make music. Mm-hmm. I like to communicate, you know, I like to, I like to work with individuals as a coach. I like to group facilitate. I do this podcast, right? And so it's like, I'm kind of like always, I guess for a long time, I've always wanted like an identity to put my flag in and say, this is who I am, right? And when I heard this concept of nowhere to stand, it was like the first time I was given permission to go, oh, I can just be, all, I'm me, and I do all those things.
Yeah, man.
Plus, I'm also much more than just the sum of all my doings, right?
Absolutely.
I'm a human being that does things.
Yes.
And so I'm not
more than what you just mentioned, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right. So that's where, you know, that's where that concept really helps me, mm-hmm. because it helps me to realize that, you know, there's really nowhere to stand. And anywhere that I kind of stay too long, I go, you know, I get bored or anxious, and I go, why am I? And it's just like, it is what it is, you know, and I like to do different things, and I'm going to. And you know, I think it's like great people, the good people in my life understand that about me, mm-hmm. and support me and help me to stay true to that. And it also requires that sometimes I got to do things I don't want to do, because I would prefer to stay high on God mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah.
I would prefer to just always like be in tune with the Spirit and have that sense of, you know, fucking still water underneath my chest, and you know,
yeah, or just getting that like fulfillment of feeling like you're really killing it in any aspect of
it. I just want to be in the bubble bath, just me and baby Jesus, just chilling, just playing. You know what I mean? We got our clothes on though, because nothing weird's happening. You know what I mean? Like that's. But I can't exist in that. I'm also a dad, and I have to be a provider.
Yes, sir.
And I got to look at my bank accounts, and that doesn't feel like a very spiritual thing, but it is, because, you know, everything's spiritual, and there's nowhere to stand, and I don't have to worry about where I think I'm standing, because I won't be there long anyway.
Yeah, man. Like for you, man, it's like, you know, wanting to put your flag in one spot and just say, this is what I am, right? Going from that and embracing all the things that you do, I mean, that's a big change. You know what I mean? I keep wanting to look at your back. I'm sorry, but it's weird for me. So I'm looking straight ahead into the camera, but I'm looking at my man Mike. But no, for real, that's a big change, like to embrace, you know, as much of you that you can, and more than embrace, like accept it. You know what I mean? Accept, hey, this is me, dude. This is what I do, bro. That I might want to do these things, but sometimes, you know, I can't do these things, and that's okay. You know what I mean? Regardless of what I'm doing, you know, I'm gonna be led. You know, I want to be led and do the will of something bigger and higher than myself.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so that was the mystic moment.
That's a great topic, my man.
We're gonna take a little break.
Just see, you are a very mystical guy. I just want to let you know that.
And you talking about Mike? The beard makes him mystical right off the jump, bro.
Yeah, the beard that's is a gangster. More than mystical.
That's a gangster ass beard, bro. I tell you that right now. I'm hating.
That beard just makes me want to meditate.
I'm hating a little bit.
I should have had a beard like this when I was doing drugs. I would have never got caught with shit.
I know you would have had your shit all tucked.
I could have had an 8-ball in here, a bundle, the whole couple.
All right, so let's take.
I wouldn't have to had to boof anything into jail.
All right, so we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna watch a trailer for Wanja's Day in the Life. It's available on the Most High Media app.
Yeah.
We'll be right back in 1 minute. Stay tuned. Wait.
What I didn't know is I just started this walk with a monster. And that monster was mimicked as an escape. Not too long after, it would be my master. And I didn't know how to stop.
We're in the interview portion. I'm going to hand the reins over to my man, DJC, so he can handle his business, and we can get to the meat of the show.
Right.
In the virtual decadent traveling seat of service.
Yes, that's the virtual moving seat of service that my man Mike is in right there. I love it. So check it out, Mike. So I don't know if you've ever watched an episode of A Most High, but this is how we do it, all right? So what we're going to attempt to do is, you know, share your story, get into your journey, you know what I mean? What got you, you know, on this camera today to speak with us about how you're living and all that, right? So how we do it, we started off by asking, what is today like for Mike? That's the question. What's today like for you?
All right.
All right?
Yeah, today. So today, like for Mike,
yeah,
is by the grace of God, no desire to use any drug whatsoever, hey. No matter how, no matter what happens today. But a day in life to me, it's peaceful, man. It's slow motion. It's gratitude. There's love. Pretty much everything is the total opposite of when I was getting high. Mm. You know, like I believe myself today. I have self-confidence in myself today. Remember, self-confidence is our reputation with ourselves. I have a good reputation with myself today. Hey. So I'm waking up every day and I'm fighting for my life because I made this a choice. It's always been a choice. And when you make something a choice, you take a chance on it. Well, I made a choice on drugs. I took a chance on it with my life. And it changed my life in ways I didn't want it to become. So now recovery is a choice for me today. And that change that it's making for my life, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, like I could go on and on how great my life is. I could go on and on what a day like to me is today. Today is magical, man. Like it's heaven on earth, man. Like I smile for no reason. But then again, I am smiling for a reason. I'm not in the darkness no more, man.
Yeah.
I'm in that light, and I appreciate being able to be the architect of this story now. I write the story now. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm the one that's making these choices. I fall, I get back up. I fall, I get back up. Not right or wrong no more. When it was right or wrong, every step was critiqued. Am I doing this right? Am I doing this wrong? I was never processing. I was never enjoying the moment. It's fall and get up, like Rocky and Rocky IV. Mm. The Russian couldn't knock him out because he kept popping back up. So you know what? If I fall today, I'm getting right the fuck back up. Excuse my language. Sometimes New York comes out of me. But like I get right back up. Like today is a life beyond my wildest dreams. That's it. So don't even dream of how great your life could be because you're going to sell yourself short. Recovery's 10 times better than you could ever think it could be.
You know what, man? Thank you for sharing that. And no, I don't think anybody can argue with your perspective today. You know what I mean? Because it's enriching. It's very real. But just listening to the words of how you're grateful you are and like how epic today is in your life, right? You've have to, that realization of how epic today is in your life, it comes from somewhere. It doesn't just show up, right? You just don't wake up like that. So you had to have lived a life to come to appreciate today as much as you specifically do, okay? So so what we do on the Most High Show is I want to go back to wherever you feel comfortable, right? I want to go back to the journey. How did it get to Mike today? Where does that start? Where does that come from? Where does this great, awesome perspective of life's like magic come from?
So I guess for me, yeah, I get it. Yeah. So dad was a heroin addict. Dad got HIV. Dad died of AIDS in 2009. Mom contracted the virus from dad. She died on Thanksgiving of this past year while I was in treatment for some amount of time. You know what I'm saying? I'm an MVP in treatment. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I could stay clean in treatment. Getting out of treatment, though, different story, right? Mm. But I was on methadone for about 14 years, 140 milligrams. I successfully detoxed off of methadone on November 3rd of last year. So on November 3rd, so like me, I believe our stories lie in what we overcome, not what we've done. So like my history, my past, I lost, game over. So I don't really get into the its and bits, right? So I like to speak on how I overcame my addiction, So on November 3rd, I get drug free off methadone. At this point, I'm not sleeping about 2.5 months, living in treatment. My mom, my best friend, my everything, you know what I'm saying, understood the disease. You know how we have family members look at it as black and white. And mom didn't because my dad was a heroin addict. My grandfather was a heroin addict. My mom understood it. She wound up becoming an addict because she beat 3 different types of cancer while having HIV. So she got the pills and everything like that. So she wound up becoming a dry addict towards the end. But when I lost my mother on Thanksgiving, I was 3 weeks drug free, right? I got my mom to see me drug free. And she seen me clean before, but not drug free. And what I mean is, like, she seen me look better, maybe thinking a little bit better. I remember being on the phone with my mom's doctor, and I hang up, and she said, "You sound different." I get goosebumps every time I say it. When she said, and this is mom, moms know what's best. You know what I'm saying? Like when she said, you sound different. I got this moment of like clarity, you know, like, wow, you know, like I'm doing this right now. Right. So when she,
who better to
away,
hear that from, who better to notice the change than your mom, man?
Because so this knows is where you. This is where the perspective comes in. This is why I think the way I do today. So when my mother passed away, I didn't question God's wisdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
God took away my plan B in life. When you have a plan B in life, you don't go hard enough on plan A, right? So the one woman that loved me unconditionally is now gone. So now came the point fight or flight. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you going to go do for yourself, right? So I found out what self-love was. Self-love is doing things despite how you feel. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, even though I don't want to do this, I still got to do it if it's about self-love. But when I lost my mom, it came to the point where, you know what? My addiction's not getting this one. My addiction got everything. I was high at my father's.
That's usually, I mean, that's a great time to pick up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And then I realized God's wisdom is so great. So like in death allows us to reinvent our love for the people that we lose. What I mean is my mother was alive. I didn't speak to her all the time. I didn't go see her all the time. Now that she's not with me, I don't mourn my mother. I celebrate my mother by how I live today. You know what I'm saying? I talk to my mother more now than I ever did when she was alive. I think of my mother more now than I did when she was alive. When I get this pain or when these tears come down my face, it shows me how much I love my mother, especially at a time when I thought I didn't love nobody and nothing whatsoever. Yeah. Right. So my perspective changed to things happening to me, to things happening for me. God removed my mother out of my life for my benefit. You know what I'm saying? She was 68 pounds, no muscle mass, of life shouldn't be of what somebody should endure. Right. So when he removed her out of my life, like I was able to find myself. I was able to, and I did this in treatment, man. Like I lost my mother while I was in treatment. So losing my mother was the first step for the perspective, right? What I realized through the perspective is everything is now related. Life, death, lightness, dark, summer, winter. So what I mean is pain, right? Pain is necessary for us to become wiser, not wounded. If we get wiser from it, we'll find joy in our lives, right? Same thing with sadness. Sadness is needed because it helps us balance the scale to know what happiness is. Sadness is like a storm. You can't sit through, you know, can't change the weather with your mind. You need to, you know what I'm saying, sit through the storm. And then you'll see the rainbow, which is happiness.
Well, what is one without the other anyways?
100%. You know so what like I mean? Even failure, right?
Yeah.
Failure is not the opposite of success. Failure is on the path to success. Yeah. So my success today is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. Like going through the process and now starting to see that the woman that gave me life and birth gave me life and death. You know what I'm saying? She pumped that life right back into me. So now going through that whole process, I started seeing the correlation through everything. I started seeing the appreciation of one to the other.
Yeah, well,
you know, like everything. Like,
real quick, can I ask you, like, how does this? So you're in treatment and your mom passes away, right? And now, how does this understanding just hit you? I mean, is it like, are you learning something during the time while you're in treatment? Are you like, what? Where does this perspective of this, you know, looking at your mother's death as, you know, a blessing to you instead of like wallowing in the grief of it? Like, how do you obtain that? You know,
for me, it was becoming spiritual. For me, it was finding God. That's what it is for me. It's God for me. Spirituality, at the end of the day, is your relationship with reality, right? So for me, God created reality. So everything that's going on around me is because he wants to better me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, even when I'm going through something I don't like or I lose something, we got to understand he sees and hears things we don't see.
It's not like you're not feeling the hurt and the pain. And
I'm feeling it.
Like you're getting
it,
but there's something over it that's allowing, there's a new perspective. I don't know, maybe not new, but there's this perspective that you have now that's like giving all these things a reason for you
to
move forward. You're making it precious, regardless of what it is. You're making it precious.
I feel it. I just don't let it consume me. where like I still have the feelings throughout the day. I just don't allow it to stop me from doing what I need to do. And that's what the self-love comes in, doing things despite how you feel. That's how you're able to love your enemy, right? Because you got to love everyone. You can't just love the people you want. You got to know how to love your enemy. And loving your enemy is not arguing with them, not going tit for tat for them, not caring what people think about you, because at the end of the day, it's none of our business what people think about us. You know, so like doing things despite how you feel, because in the Bible it says love is patient and love is kind, if I'm not mistaken, right? That's not a feeling, that's an action. If you're a kind person, you know what I'm saying, that those are actions that you're taking towards other people. If you're a patient person, those are actions you're taking to attract your opportunities instead of chase your opportunities. You know, like everything, like me personally, I'm not someone that reads the big book. I don't have a sponsor. That the traditions and steps are in my life because I read the Bible. To me, everything's derived from the Bible anyway, right? It's the oldest book. You know, Proverbs is kind of like Buddha. You know, like, so like it, all of it is, you know.
So you're saying it's like kind of like all intertwined in one way or another, right?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, just my personal opinion, I think the devil created other religions just to confuse us. You know, I think Christianity is more of a relationship with God than it is a religion. You know, like it's your personal relationship with God.
Well, don't tell them boys down at Southern Baptist that, though. Okay?
They
might disagree with you, all right?
You know, and everyone's allowed their opinion. From what I get, it's my duty to let you know he saved my life. It's not my duty to tell you to go find him.
That's right.
You know, that's up to you to go find him.
That's right. No, man, I'm really feeling your energy, dog. You're hyping me up a little bit right now, dude. You're hyping me up, man. And I like
what's up, man.
I like all the stuff that you're saying. Like I love, you know, and I agree with everything you're saying, you know. I'd like to know, why you're in treatment. Like, where does the understanding, because some of these things that you're talking about are very foreign. And like one thing I want to know, another reason for this show, right, is to be an information base for the sick and suffering. You know what I'm saying? Somebody on the ropes, you know, somebody not really understanding the concept. Like, you know, how do you get to a place? Where do you get the understanding of like something like self-love? Because that's like a odd word for somebody that, you know, is just drank, you know, 7 shots of liquor, and that's the only way they can find satisfaction, or they got a needle in their arm, man, because they got to escape everything. Like, where do you get self-love from? Like, where do you get that understanding?
So in treatment, especially in New York City, you're a paycheck, right? I could give you a drill, but if I don't tell you how to put the drill on, how to use the drill is useless, correct? So like the tools they tell you, they don't tell you how to use these tools. So I go to University of Google and the University of YouTube. This is how I started learning things. So like I needed to learn how to, you know, self-love. You want some self-love? Make this a fall and get up thing and not a right or wrong thing, and your self will start happening. All the selves, right? Self, you know, confidence. Just keep getting back up. Don't make it right or wrong. Like, don't do the things in your life that blow shit up. Don't do the things in your life that make you feel ways you don't like. Just don't worry about needing to know how to do this. Like, it's like faith. I think Martin Luther King said it, right? Faith is taking a step and not seeing the stairwell. You got to buy into this. Everyone loves Amazon, right? Yeah. You buy the product in Amazon first. You don't get to try the clothes on. You don't get to see the electronics if they work or not. You buy it because it has the reputation of delivering the product. Recovery has the reputation of delivering the goddamn product. But if you don't buy into it, you're never going to get the results. Like, getting high is the answer.
Invest,
if you're
baby.
Getting high is the answer, then what's the question? If getting high is the answer, what's the question? Because why are we questioning that, and why are we questioning the answer of recovery then? Because recovery is the goddamn answer. We've shown it. People have shown it. Go to the rooms, and they've shown it. You know, like, it's all around you. If you don't want to see it, then say out loud that you don't want to see it. You might not like the way that shit sounds if you say it out loud. You keep your shit in between these 2 ears, your addiction that speaks to you in your own voice is going to manipulate it and make you think that you're doing better than you really are, or going to make you think that you get off this at any time. You need to quiet the noise in here by getting loud out your mouth. And then that's where the rooms work. You know what I'm saying? You need to find people that are living a life better than you so you can find your way through their way. Don't walk it their way, but just know the path can be walked, and that's what it is. It's a walk. It's not a goddamn race.
Yeah. Yeah, so Do you have a network of people and like-minded individuals that like share your thoughts where you can get things off of your chest and like you can let other people know and you can hear and listen to other people's perspectives and other people's journeys and like what they're going through today? Like, how does that work in your life?
I have my company, which I started while living in treatment. I started a fully incorporated nonprofit called Inspire to Inspire, which at this moment in time has a reach that goes across the world. We help addicts get either medical coverage wherever they are in the world, find communities, get rehabs, detoxes, a safe place to share their story. I started my clothing line while living in treatment. I went on tour speaking while living in treatment because my circumstances.
While living in treatment, are you saying like you're in
while
like
living
a,
in treatment,
like you're in a residential in spot making moves?
Residential
like
spot, yeah. Making moves, getting flown first, but because my circumstances and environment never stopped me from getting high. I was high at Christmas dinner table, Thanksgiving. So why the hell should your circumstances and environment ever stop you from succeeding in life? That's your choice then. It came to the point where I'm not the one that's going to stop me from living this life. It's just not. And we're the only ones that could stop us. I'm my own best friend today. I'm my own cheerleader. At the end of the day, I'm responsible for this, making this shit happen. I used to want you to save my life. Because when you couldn't do it, because why would you? I could blame you for why my life is so shitty. Because I didn't want to take responsibility for my life. It's different now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's really just the next step, man. That's all you got to see is the next step. I used to need to see 10 steps down the line.
Right.
You know, I don't need that no more. I just need to see. And then I got the app. You know, we got an app. And I live with two of the most beautiful people in the world, you know, that they're in sobriety. And I'm out here in California working in treatment, two treatment centers, doing groups in other treatment centers, speaking almost in every Frank Alano club out here, speaking in public with my speaker. Yeah. I grab my speaker and my microphone. I set up anywhere. Because you know what? The one person that needs to hear my message is going to hear it. And that's who God needs to hear it. And that's who's going to hear it. And I don't care what anybody thinks. I got a tattoo on my arm that says the sober. You know what I'm saying? You knew I was an addict from 10 miles away. You're going to know I'm in recovery from 20 miles away, though.
No, dude, I'm feeling that. That's, man. And thank you for all the service that you're doing, man. I mean, that's saving lives, dude. That's what saving lives is, man. And, so you live with a couple people that that you rock out with. You got a team, you know what I mean? And you know, so do you consider, you know, these events that you and like spreading the word of recovery and the events you go to, now, do you consider that your self-love too?
I 100% isn't gratitude a selfish feeling in a sense?
Yeah.
You know, so like it helps me get gratitude because I believe we need three different type of people in our world, right?
Tell me
about
it.
We need people that are further down the road than us, so they're always teaching us. So therefore,
give them that wisdom. Get that wisdom.
When you allow somebody to teach you something, what do? You give them purpose. You give them value, right? Mm-hmm. Then you need people that are on the walk the way you are, where you are in life, so you guys can help each other in the form of support. Mm-hmm. Then you need people that are further down the road than you, so therefore, you're always teaching things that you already learned, so now you brush up on what you learned. Then it also then gives you purpose, and then what do we love to say in recovery? You got to give it to keep it, right?
Absolutely.
So you know what I'm saying? If you could get those three different types of people in your world, there's no way that you could fail life. And then again, failure is an illusion. The only way you fail is if you quit. If you're getting up, you're not starting over. You know what I'm saying? You're starting anew from experience. Stop thinking that this is starting over. You're not starting over. Learn your mistake and then just do it a little bit better. The starting over, I would never get back on the horse because I thought it was starting over. Right. It's not, though. Addiction's a trickster, man. It's a magician. Yeah. Once you go to a magic trick,
it's the greatest manipulator.
100%. But you know what? We're good manipulators too, though.
Yeah.
Us addicts are good manipulators. Yeah. So manipulate your addiction's manipulation and turn that shit into influence and save some goddamn lives out there, man.
I like that. I love that. I love it. Kristen, what you got?
What do I got?
Yeah, what do you got, man? That boy just filled us up here, man. You know what I mean? The cup runneth over.
Yeah, I mean, I don't got much other than I'm just sitting here thinking, all right, how is he pulling all these words so quickly? And it's like your brain's like on how much coffee do you drink?
I don't listen. I don't drink much coffee at all. This is what passion looks like, man. I lived in the same bed as the devil for 20 years. That was my best friend. That was my homie. You know what I'm saying? So the reason I didn't live the life I'm living today is because of my addiction. But guess what? Homie's the reason I am living the way I am today. Right. So he's going to stay on my hip, and he's going to hate me even more today than he thought I loved him back then. Yeah. Because you know why? Our addiction is what's going to make us succeed in life. Find all the lessons in there. See all the blessings. You survive darkness. Stop thinking that there's something wrong with you. You're not this. We are meant for greatness, survivors, and that's what it's at. We're able to survive. We're able to live people's nightmares on repeat. We lived our nightmares with our eyes wide open. So best believe I'm going to live my goddamn dreams with my eyes wide open, too, these days.
I got a question for you, Mike. All right.
Go ahead. Shoot, I'm going to open book.
Now, check it out. You are, you know, you went from the East Coast. Now you're on the West Coast, right? Cali.
Yes, sir.
And you said, you know, you need them waves. You need that ocean by you now. It's fulfilling to you in a spiritual way, right? Now, do you ever lay back on the beach and like wiggle your toes at the waves and watch the sun go down?
Yeah, man, that's my reflection time.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know what the ocean taught me one day while I was standing at the ocean? So the wave crashing, right? That's one of the most beautiful, most
the sound, the look, all that. Yeah.
So I'm standing there and I hear this wave crash, right? Okay. And I get like this revelation kind of thing. So the wave crashes. What happens after the wave crashes? It gets real silent, right? And then what happens with the water? The water has to retract for what? To make another wave. Mm. Isn't that what happiness is?
Mm.
Happiness crashes. That sound is beautiful. But then what happens? It has to get quiet. Life has to happen on life's terms. That water has to retract. You know, your happiness has to retract so the next wave of happiness could come. Like, I learned all my greatest lessons from nature, man. Like, just standing there and listening to music, just finding clarity. You know what I'm saying? I dropped my phone, but we're good. We're back. But finding clarity and everything, you know? So, like, that's why I love the ocean. That's why, you know, nature is one of the best therapeutic things, because it allows you to just, you can't meditate and you can't, you're not supposed to stop your thoughts when you're meditating. You're supposed to allow your thoughts to go through your head. Just whatever thoughts you make reality will destroy you. So be real careful on what thoughts you're making reality.
Yeah,
all of them need to become a reality.
You know, nature gives you the opportunity to see God in a tree.
Mm,
you know,
I like
what I mean?
That.
A wise dude just told me that before. Mm. No, that's 100% true, man. I find like wonder and amazement, you know, at those types of scenes, just looking at the, you know, the grandiosity. Did I pronounce it right?
I think you got it right.
Yeah, the grandiosity of something like the ocean, bro. You know what I'm saying? You know, we make so much about us, man, but in the thick of things, dude, we're so little in all this, but it's so, the blessing is just being a part of it. And I love being at the ocean and hearing a wave crash where you're standing beside somebody and you can't even hear them talk because it's so loud. And then when that when it recedes, though, you can hear, like, you know, birds chirping and shit like that. So, no, I dig that.
What's funny, though?
Yeah.
With nature, we never question where things are. Like, there's palm trees in California, right? Mm-hmm. We don't question that. We don't question its place, nature. But yet we question where we are in this place.
Whoa,
right now.
Right.
Maybe God created all of you, which he did, but maybe you are exactly where you need to be. So if you don't like where you are today, maybe that's the purpose. So you start making some moves to make your life where it needs to be.
Mm.
You know, like, we are exactly where we are supposed to be in life right now. And if you could accept that, then you'll be able to go where you need to go in life. If you're always worrying that you're not in the right place, you're not going to get to go where God has waiting for you, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. Now, you know, without mentioning names, you know, you just talked about where, you know, to me, you were describing like a chain link the necessity of the chain links of recovery, right? You need somebody ahead of you that knows some stuff, that can school you a little bit, right? You need somebody beside you that you can relate to at that moment, you know, that's going through the same things that you're going through. And then you need somebody fresh coming in so you can give some of what you got, because you can't, you know, you don't own it, man, unless you can give it away, right? Mm-hmm. All those things. Now, is there, while you're going through your life, is it, you know, do you get that wisdom? Do you get that? Is there an intimate person in your life that's been schooling you through your recovery process, or do you grab it, you know, from wherever it's at? Like, where, you know, is the wisdom, you know, located somewhere, or is the wisdom everywhere for you?
I think for me, it's everywhere. You know, like there's people in my life that are giving me, showing me things of my character that I could get better. There's people in my life that are showing me where I can improve, because I'm not bad in anything. There's no such thing as bad days, right? There's good days, there's character building days, right? Be real mindful of the self-talk. Like, you know, our self-talk's a program we install into our computer, which is the brain, right? Yeah. So like, I'm real mindful of the words I'm using to when I wake up, before I go to sleep, when I'm talking to people, how I feel, you know. But like, I find it everywhere. I find inspiration from people that are living a way I don't want to live, because they're showing me how I don't want to live no more. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The inspiration is all around me. But as far as specific people, I don't have like one specific person that's above me on here with me. Mm-hmm. I think each person plays that role in a different manner. So like, you could be the person ahead of me at one point because you're teaching me something I don't know. Right. You could also be the person that's going through what I'm going through to support me. And then you could also be the person that I'm helping teach. Yeah. So therefore, I don't put people on pedestals. Therefore, everyone has the same value to me.
Yeah, you know, in my life right now, living the life the way I'm living today, I think there's always, you know, there's always... It's not like you said, I mean, there's people that help me tremendously, and there's times where I'm able to give back to those people that have helped me. There's times in my life where like somebody, you know, cause the pedestals aren't there for me. I think it's like a gratitude of like learning things from people, but at the same time being there as a friend and maybe helping them where they're struggling as well. You know what I mean? Of course, like you said earlier, you know, when I learn from a newcomer, I when I see somebody, man, pick up a white chip, right? I dig on that person, man. Because man, when those guys share, there's something so raw and so real about that, because, you know, they're new to it. You know what I mean? They might not have, they don't have at that moment, like the perspective that people that have some more time in have, you know what I mean? But at the same time, me saying that, you know, with 12 years of recovery, right, man, I learn, it's like opening up the first page of a book every day, man, because I am constantly working, and it's not from any specific person. It's always just from my surroundings. Like the world and who God places in front of me is usually somebody that I'm learning something from on a daily basis. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's how I manifest, man. Yeah. I manifest not just the results. I manifest the people I need in my life, the feelings I need to feel. You know what I'm saying? Like, I manifest all of it. I think when you just manifest the end results, it might not work the same. So I manifest the type of people I need in my life, the things I need going on, all of it. And it's a real thing, man. Manifestation is a real thing.
Yeah, man. And I want to be like, you know, rigorously honest, you know, about me, dude. Like I'm really thriving off of your energy right now because, man, it's real. I know it's like, I agree with so much of it, and I feel your vibe, you know what I mean? And it's inspirational to me, and I appreciate how you're flowing in this podcast right now, because, you know, to be 100% honest with you, dude, there's days that that energy is impossible for me to keep. You know, that perspective does not stick to me like glue necessarily. You know, I have really rough days, man. You know what I'm saying? For things that have happened. And as much as I want to look forward in my life, man, you know, those things from the past, man, they can come up and sucker punch the shit out of me sometimes, man. And yeah. I need that network, and I need that love, and I need that, like, you know, I need that therapeutic value of that a person that lives like me gives me. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you? You
know, 100%, man. You know, well, I mean, we were brothers in this before we met. Hey, now we just brothers even more. Hey, now that we didn't meet.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
No, I appreciate
that. So, like, I'm always here. This is what I do for people, man. Like, people reach. I'm blessed to be able to always have this energy. I have this energy day in and day out. I have this mindset day in and day out. And this is, you know, why God is just great. Because he's the only one that could have made this happen, man. He allowed me the patience to learn how to use this gift that he gave me. You know what I'm saying? I used to manipulate people. I used to steal your drugs and help you look for them. I was that guy. You know what I'm saying?
That's a dope fiend move right there. Back, if y'all don't know.
So I turned the manipulation into influence now, and it's all because I don't speak to be right. I just speak how I feel. I don't look for the algorithm. I don't look to make videos for views and like. The algorithm is another form of addiction. It's minimizing our attention span with these 7 and 15 second videos. So we process so many of them. Mm-hmm. All right, you got 100,000 views, but the person forgot your video 2 seconds later. You know what I'm saying? So people are so addicted to the algorithm that they're not even realizing that what's giving them value are views, likes, and whatever. Guess what else did that? The drugs. The drugs gave us value 1, 2, you know what I'm saying? So like, there's not much of a difference. So like me, I'm just gonna keep trucking the way I'm trucking. And if God wants me to do this on a mass level, he'll make me do it. But other than that, to me, one life matters, man. That's why the name of my company is Inspire to Inspire. You can inspire one person. That person's going to meet 100 people in that day. You don't know what they do for that one person and that one person and that one. That's true greatness at the end of the day. That's how you change the world, life at a time.
Well, check this out. All right. Check this out, man. And thank you so much, bro. So I got a question for you. And this is usually how we wind things down. Okay. And like I said earlier, hoping that this word and this conversation is blessed, number one, and I'm hoping that somebody out there that, you know, that does not have no clean time right now, but wants it, is listening, or gets somebody else might get them to listen, you know, might turn them on to this specific episode, right? So my question to you, as we're winding this down, is if somebody's coming in and somebody's on the fence and somebody got maybe 2 weeks clean and they're hating life, you know, in rehab, or they just got out of treatment and they're like trying to deal with life on life terms and all that packages, right? What do you say to the newcomer that doesn't have this all figured out? How do you know, what is your words to that person?
So usually what I tell people is I stopped asking myself, why am I an addict, right? Because when I would ask, why am I an addict, the shame comes, self-pity comes, the playing the victim comes, right? I changed the why to a how. How did I become an addict? When I say how, it showed the actions it took in my life to get me where I'm at. So now I start to see that it was my choices that made me where I was. So therefore I can make better choices, because until you make this a choice, the choice doesn't present itself. So until you make recovery a choice, you'll never have the choice. And just imagine your life better. You want to imagine your life better? Just stay here for a little bit and watch people cry and complain about the things that you're getting high and drunk over. And then afterwards, smiling and laughing and hugging each other. Because that's what attracted me. That's what attracted me. Yeah. People complaining and crying and like losing loved ones. And then after the meeting, not getting high, smiling, joking. And then more and more as going through the meetings, who's getting this job? Who's getting that job? Who's getting out of treatment? Who's doing this? And I'm looking at them and I'm like, you know what? these mother effers are just like me and their lives are getting better. Nah, I'm, how'd you do it? When you ask somebody, how'd you do it? Lose your train of thought. Remember, open-mindedness, the ability that we could be wrong is a tool that we don't use more, more of. Yeah, yeah. The fact that I was wrong, that I couldn't do recovery, what that does for me today is make me look back and be like, well, what else was I wrong that I couldn't do? Because now I'm coming for all of it. Everything my addiction took for me, I don't care. I'm coming for it. I want more of it. I'm coming for all of it. Because if you took it from me, that means I gave it to you. So guess what? I'm taking my power back today. I'm getting all that shit back. And I'm not just going to beat my addiction. I'm coming for everyone's addiction because I want to know your experiences. I want to know your triggers. I want to know your cravings because there's a lot about this that I don't know. And there's a lot about this that I need to learn. And I can't do this alone. Yeah. I need every addict getting high or not getting high. That's how we've changed this. We all become one voice. Who cares if you're getting high or not? That you could change that, man. Just get around people that are living better and just stick around. You know what I'm saying? You got around people getting high. They helped you live that life, right? Get around people that are living in recovery and they'll help you have a life.
Folks, are you listening? Check this out. Mike, man, Inspire to Inspire. Is it Inspire to Inspire, right?
Yes.
And that's a nonprofit that it's almost like a resource operational place where you help people get into sober living. You help people get to treatment. You help people get insurance and everything they need to follow the proper modalities of recovery for what California and beyond offers, right?
Yep.
All right, folks, check it out. That's my man, Mike. That's his words, all right? Don't ask yourself why. Ask yourself how, okay? And listen, when you're at a meeting and you're seeing the people and you're watching them go through all these emotions, peep them after all that happens, man, because they're not using. Understand, they're not picking up. They're using that network. They're using that fellowship to understand each other, to get through the day, to pull some laughter out of that, you know, meeting, to pull some laughter from each other, some understanding, some camaraderie, you know, some loyalty towards each other. And beneath it all, they are fellowshipping, bro. This is a thing that you do not do by yourself. This is a thing that you do collectively with like-minded individuals and people that love and support you because they know what you're going through. All right. Now check it out. This was an episode of The Most High Show. Okay. If you don't know, The Most High Show is a network of recovery. All right. You download the app. There's documentaries, there's spirituality, there's the steps, there's struggles, there's mystical things being discussed. Man, my brother over here that just mentioned a little bit about what he does, this is all his baby right here. God has given my brother Christian the gift to bring people's journeys and understanding and a little bit of information and a little bit of education and all that spirituality straight to you through The Most High Show and this app, man. We got merch, we got shirts, we got hats, we got all these things, man. But most of all, we got love for all of you, and we thank you for tuning in to The Most High Show. Peace.